Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You on this, Your day, and we pray that You would help us. Help us to focus upon Your Word and to be fed richly from it. For we know that left to ourselves, we have deaf ears, and so please give us ears to hear the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, it's found on page 1565 if you have a Bible from the back. Mark chapter 11 at verse 1. And we'll continue reading through verse 11. Mark chapter 11 at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, and He said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately He will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when He had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We should be taken a bit aback by the fact that Jesus enters into Jerusalem with triumph, even before He dies and is resurrected. Most of the time when someone claims victory before it happens, we would think that such a person is arrogant. Jesus is, of course, not arrogant in the slightest, but enters Jerusalem triumphantly because He knows the Father's plan. He knows that His time has come, and He has perfect faith that His Father's promises will be fulfilled. Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. A king riding on a donkey was a symbol of coming in peace. And of course, that is perfectly fitting because at Jesus' first coming, Jesus has come in peace in order to provide us with peace by His sacrificial death and resurrection. We see this even in what the people are shouting in verses 9 and 10. The people were quoting one of the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent were psalms that were sung by God's people as they went up to Jerusalem for the three annual pilgrim feasts. Those three feasts were Passover, the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And the psalm of ascent that they are quoting is the psalm that we just sang, Psalm 118. And notice, Mark records that the crowd is crying out this psalm. Or another way of putting it is they are proclaiming, they are heralding this message with maximum volume. Just as a herald would in those days, entering a city before the king were to arrive to tell all the people, the king is coming, the king is coming. So this crowd is doing for Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. Though as Mark makes clear here in emphasizing certain parts of the psalm, many of these people did not understand properly what Jesus had come to do. They thought Jesus was coming as a political king to save them from the Romans, not as their savior from sin and death. But even still, they are heralding and probably singing Psalm 118, in which we are given two Hebrew words that are then translated into one Greek word, which has been brought over directly into English. Hosanna. Hosanna means save now in a pleading tone. Or as the New King James translates it, save now, I pray. The people of that day were crying out that word to the Lord Jesus. They did not mean it in the way that they should have. They were looking for a political savior with a political salvation. Not a divine savior to save them from sin and death and hell. But I wonder, did those disciples and people in the crowd shout and sing Hosanna with more sincerity and desperation to be saved than we do from our sin and shame? In our days, brothers and sisters, on this earth, we don't have to say Hosanna, the word itself, but do we cry out to the Lord, please save us? Please save us with absolute desperation, knowing that He is our only hope. Do we cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me now. Save me from my sin. Save me from this temptation. Save me from this sinful desire. Save me, most precious Lord. Save me now, I pray. Is that the desire of our hearts? Or is it, well, it's just a little sin. God can just overlook that one. Not a big deal. Brothers and sisters, have we gotten to a point where we say, I hate this sin that's in my heart. I hate that I think these thoughts. I hate that I covet. I hate that I lust. I hate that I hate. I hate that oftentimes the words that come most easily out of my mouth are anything but holy. I hate that when I'm wronged, my first reaction is to raise my fist instead of to forgive and love. Save me, Lord. You see Hosanna in the heart of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 24, where we read, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Do we identify with those words? There's a fight going on in Paul's heart. Is that the same fight that we have? Do we cry out in that fight, knowing we don't have the strength in ourselves, Hosanna, Lord, please save me. I know what my sin deserves, and I know what my sin does to me and to everyone else around me. It does the exact opposite of what I want to do. I want to come to you, Lord, and I want everyone else to come too. And every time I sin, and I let sin dwell in my heart, I am running from you. And every time I sin with my mouth and I sin with my actions, I am leading others away from you too. Lord, save me now, I pray. Do we go to our Lord Jesus with this desperate cry? Not because we only know our needful pride, a plight and need of salvation, but also going to Him because we know that He is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the promised Savior, the only one that can answer that prayer. Hosanna. For as Paul continues after that question, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the very next verse, we read some of the most certain and assuring words of our forgiveness in the whole Bible. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. None. We go to the Lord Jesus not only because we know we need to be saved, but also because we know He can do it. He has done it. The hope of all the world has come. He has died upon the cross for your sins and mine, and has put our sinful natures to death there as well. And he was raised on the third day in order that he would become a life-giving spirit, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, resurrecting us spiritually now and one day physically as well. So that we will enjoy resurrection and eternal life with him forever. This is the only hope for humanity. This Christ is the only one who can answer that cry, Hosanna, in the affirmative. For as Psalm 118, verse 25, beginning there, says, save now, I pray. There's that word, Hosanna. Hosanna, O Lord, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. What, or rather who, is the light of hope that God has given to us? It is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who is the sacrifice for God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting to note that the root verb for the word Hosanna, save, in Hebrew, is also the root word for half of a very important name in the Old Testament. Take a mental guess of what that name would be. It's the name Joshua. And what is the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Joshua? Jesus. The answer to the prayer, Hosanna, O Lord, or as we have it in our English Bible, save now, I pray, O Lord, is the one who was divinely given the name Jesus. Because why? Because he would save his people from their sins. He has come in the name of the Lord, bearing the name of the Lord, and has saved all that the Father has given to him. And while we all who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ have been saved, we recognize that there is an already and not yet to our salvation. We are still waiting to be perfected. We are still waiting to be fully in the presence of God. We are still waiting for our bodies to be raised in change. We're still waiting for that old dead heart to be completely removed from us. And so as we pray and sing and cry out that word, Hosanna, we should mean it not only in the sense of save me right now, O Lord, from this sin, from this temptation, from this besetting sin, from this situation, from this stress, and from this lack of faith, but also in the sense of Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hosanna, save us now Lord Jesus by coming again. We long for that day. We anticipate that day when all the suffering of this world will be done. And sin will be put away forever. Hosanna, save us now, we pray. Save us completely, Lord. As much as that crowd was shouting Hosanna as Christ rode into Jerusalem, we much more so should be shouting and singing with all that we are, Hosanna, come, Lord Jesus, come. We long to be in your presence in perfection. brothers and sisters, I plead with you, whatever is holding you back from saying that word, Hosanna, crying it out in your heart, save me, Lord, from my sin. Save me now. Save me from this world of sin. Save me from death. Cause me to be resurrected fully and completely, body and soul in your presence. I long for that, Lord. Save me. Whatever is holding you back from crying out that prayer, for longing for Christ and longing for His return more and more, I plead with you, cast that away from you. Just as the bride cannot wait for her wedding day, and it is the only big event in her view, so must our hearts be set on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to save us completely from all of our sin and misery and bring us into the fullness of joy and perfect experience of love. Do not let the desires of this life hinder your desire for Christ to save you and to save you completely and to come again. David says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. The Puritan Richard Sibbes writes about this psalm and extensively comments on this verse about the beauty of the Lord, and talks about also how we see the beauty of the Lord in the ordinances of the church. That we see the beauty of the Lord in His Word when it is read and preached, and the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and the sacraments. So of course that should mean that we desire to come to church every Sunday to see the Lord and to be with the Lord. But it should also mean that we long to see the beauty of our covenant faithful God in the life to come. To see the fullness of divine glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And to experience the fullness of the salvation that Christ has accomplished for us. A groom loves to behold the beauty of his bride. We love to go to waterfalls and climb mountains to see the beauty of nature. Works of great art stun us because of its beauty. How glorious will it be to be saved so completely that we will, with perfect eyes and perfect heart, see the fullness of divine glory in the face of Jesus Christ. To that most blessed thought, what more could we cry than Hosanna? Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, and Heavenly Father, to our Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we cry to you, our triune God, Hosanna. Save us, we pray. Save us as we go through our day. Save us. Save us from our sin. Save us from temptation. Save us from our own sinful inclinations. Save us, O Lord. Cleanse our mouths. Purify our hearts. Clean our hands, O Lord. Please save us. And O Lord, we pray as well that you would save us from this world and life of sin. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Deliver us from this body of death. And raise us in complete victory and salvation with yourself to enter in to the joy of you, our Lord, forever and ever. Oh Lord, we long for that day when we shall with unveiled face look upon you with these eyes resurrected, the very Savior who died for me and died for all of your people, O Lord. To see the holes in his hands, feet, and side. And know that those wounds are forever marks of his glory and love. And that we shall be comforted, assured, and loved forever beyond all measure. Knowing only perfect bliss. O Lord, save us, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.